Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Guhantim Vridayatmanam. Nilalaka Varutinim. Upalabhya Sura Dharma. Sarvi Sammumuhu Shriyam. Guhantim, hiding, vridaya, out of shyness, atmanam, herself, nila, dark, alaka, hair, varutinim, a bunch, upalabhya, upon imagining, Asuraha, the demons, Dharma, O Vidura, Sarve, all, Sammuhu, were captivated, Sriyam, woman. Translation, and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Adorned with dark tresses, she hid herself, as it were, out of shyness. Upon seeing that girl, the Asuras were all infatuated with an appetite for sex. Please repeat. Adorned with dark tresses, she hid herself, as it were, out of shyness. Upon seeing that girl, the Asuras were all infatuated with an appetite for sex. Purport. The difference between demons and demigods is that a beautiful woman can very easily attract the minds of demons, but she cannot attract the mind of a godly person. A godly person is full of knowledge, and the demoniac person is full of ignorance. Just as a child is attracted by a beautiful doll, similarly a demon, who is less intelligent and full of ignorance, is attracted by the material beauty and an appetite for sex. The godly person knows that this nicely dressed and ornamented attraction of high breasts, high hips, beautiful nose and fair complexion is Maya. All the beauty a woman can display is only a combination of flesh and blood. Sri Shankaracharya has advised all persons not to be attracted by the interaction of flesh and blood. They should be attracted by the real beauty in spiritual life. The real beauty is Krishna and Radha. One who is attracted by the beauty of Radha and Krishna cannot be attracted by the false beauty of this material world. That is the difference between the demon and a godly person or devotee. Om Agyant Mirandasya Janan Janan Shalakayata Shura Manitandina Tashmaya Shri Girinma. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivashari Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I read text 30 and 31. Her breasts projected upwards because of their clinging to each other, and they were too contiguous to admit any intervening space. She had a shapely nose and beautiful teeth. A lovely smile played on her lips, and she cast a sportful glance at the Asuras. Adorned with dark tresses, she hid herself, as it were, out of shyness. Upon seeing that girl, the Asuras were all infatuated with an appetite for sex. So here, Brahma, he threw off that body which took the form of the evening twilight. And here the Asuras have identified it as a woman. And they become captivated by this attraction. So, this is the beginning of creation. That all this is taking place here. And we're understanding that the Mahatattva has been agitated. The Mahatattva has been agitated. And the creation has started to happen. So the Mahatattva is chiefly in the mode of goodness. In the mode of ignorance, because it's just matter. And from the Mahatattva, which is basically ignorance, generates the Ahankara, the false ego. And then factually from that, everything it emanates from there. So the very beginning of creation, it's ignorance, Mahatattva ignorance, agitated by false ego, which is another ignorance. So the whole creation is actually stemming from ignorance. It then mixes with the three gunas, and false ego with goodness produces a mind, false ego with passion produces the senses, and false ego in ignorance, Prabhupada says, mixed with the sex energy of the Lord, that produces all the objects of sense gratification in the material world. So every object in this material world, we're trying to use a sense gratification, is coming from the false ego in ignorance, agitated with the sex energy of the Lord. So this is the actual basis of the universe. It's created from this very beginning of in ignorance. And it's actually the first thing Brahma created. The ignorance was manifested from Brahma. Then he threw that away. So it went on in the beginning of creation, and it's going on today. It's very, very prominent today. Here is a very graphic description of a woman's breast especially. So you see that's going on right today. You see any magazine, any television video, in the street, you can see this is the main feature of the material world today also. This is what everybody's using to sell their products, to get everybody thinking there is some happiness in this material world. So the materialists are very good at they've analyzed the situation, haven't they? They've got a good philosophy. They're understanding the philosophy of this material world. They're applying it for sense gratification. They know it works. It started from the beginning of creation. And it's still going on. So we understand it's a very, very complex situation here, this whole material creation, this whole material manifestation. But what's going on is it's a creation of, it's a combination of matter and spirit. That's all that's going on here. Otherwise the material universe is dead matter. It's Mahatattva. There's no life there. Then by the interaction of Vishnu and the living entities, that injects the life, that's a spirit, puts a spirit into it. Then it all comes to life, then the material world starts happening. So, otherwise, everything here is simply inert dead matter. What we're seeing and trying to exploit is inert dead matter. There's no feeling to it. This body also, it's only when the touch of the spirit is there that it seems attractive. So, when Krishna comes here, when his different incarnations and his devotees, they only see the spiritual aspect of it. All that's going on here is a combination of spirit and matter. So they're seeing the spirit side of it. Whereas the gross materialists, they're just feeling the external energy. They're seeing the Maya, that's all. But that's all that's going on. So it's just a question of, you know, what do you want to choose to accept? You want to seek out the spirit in this part of the material cosmos, or see the material part? So the living entity, he has a choice. So he can seek out spirit. And this is what is recommended throughout the Vedas and the Puranas and the Upanishads. You have to seek that place from which there is no return. Atado Brahma Jigasha. Now you've got a human form. Inquire into what is that eternal nature, spirit, Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. So this is what it. They're pointing out, you should be seeking out that. But simultaneously, because the living entities didn't come here to seek out Brahman, they actually left Brahman in the spiritual world. Simultaneously, there is another aspect. Okay, now you can seek out dead matter. You can interact with dead matter by following the rules. And you can see, and you can just feel dead matter and feel you are being happy. This is a great illusion. The demons, they're trying to capture this beautiful girl in the form of twilight, or the twilight in the form of a beautiful girl. Because they want to enjoy, and they're offering nice skin and offer nice prayers to her, glorifying her. So this is all ignorance. They're identifying as matter and as enjoyers of material energy. So this is the great illusion that's been Brahma is created from the very beginning. This illusion, ignorance, the first thing that Brahma created. Everybody is born into this darkness. So they're all imagining that they're the enjoyers, they're the Purusha, but actually all the energy is Prakriti, is a female. It's energy. It's the energy of the Lord. The Lord is the male, and all the energy is the female. So if actually what we're doing when we're interaction energy is female with female, because Krishna is the only Purusha. But we have the Purusha Bhava, or the feeling that I am the enjoyer. This is Krishna's grace. Otherwise you can't have that feeling. You come here to be the enjoyer, so you've got to have the qualification. So Krishna gives you the qualification. First he covers you in avidya, so you forget him. Otherwise how you can be Lord if Krishna's there? How you can enjoy if Krishna's there? So then he gives you that Purusha Bhav, that I am the enjoyer. And then I make my way enjoying Prakriti. So I'm the Purusha, and material nature is Prakriti. So this is Krishna's position. Krishna is the Purusha, and the Prakriti is for his enjoyment. So the material world is designed by Krishna to fulfill the desires of the living entities who want to leave the spiritual world. To come and act in this this cosmic manifestation, this material world. So it's all mixed up. Everyone is in complete bewilderment. It's female trying to enjoy female, and both the so-called male and the female have the Purusha above. So the female is also thinking, I'm the Purusha, I want to be the enjoyer also. And the male is thinking, I want to be the enjoyer. So what's happening is two males are enjoying and two females are enjoying. The energy is female, and the notion, the mood is that I am the Purusha. So that's common in both male and female. So this is how everybody is completely bound up in this material world, trying to identify with all these different impositions. So then we have the spiritual side where we can get knowledge, so we can become free from this ignorance and understand I am not the body. But it's simply not enough simply to understand I am not the body, because the body is not mine. It feels like it's mine, but actually it's not my energy. This is Durga's. She's in charge of all the manifestation of this material. It's her property. And Durga is the reflection of Srimata Radharani. So ultimately it's Srimata Radharani's body. So what's happening? We are running around trying to enjoy Srimata Radharani, who's Krishna's enjoyment. So in the name of enjoying, you see how demoniac this material world is. We really want to take Krishna's position. And Krishna's given that facility. Krishna has given that facility for the living entity. He's so kind, whatever you want, he'll give you. So you can imitate him, he'll create a situation where you can also imitate him. He's not attached. Of course, nobody can enjoy Srimati Radharani. Nobody can enjoy Durga also, that's another illusion. Because the spirit never touches matter. But the conception that I am touching matter is there, but it's actually an illusion. The connection is the false ego. The false ego touches matter. And the false ego is Lord Shiva, Shiva's energy. And Durga is the wife of Lord Shiva. So what's wrong if Shiva touches his wife? There's no harm there. But we're under the impression that we're doing all this. We're in the illusion that we're the enjoyer and this is to be enjoyed. But actually the spirit cannot touch. Oil, water, they cannot mix. So the illusion is created by Krishna out of his kindness. Just like when Krishna expands, we understand in Chaitanya Krishna, he wants to enjoy, he expands the Srimati Radharani. She's his pleasure potency, so she knows exactly how to serve Krishna in Vrindavan. When Krishna expands into Vaikuntha and becomes Lord Narayan, Radharani expands as a Lakshmi. It's this suitable form, it's the exact form that's going to bring Narayan pleasure. It's exactly suited to his mentality. When he expands as Lord Ramachandra, she expands as Sita. Perfect form for Lord Ramachandra. There couldn't be a better. So like wherever Krishna expands, Radharani expands exactly to suit him, to serve him, to assist him in his program as pleasure. So when Krishna expands into the material world, then Radharani also expands. So she becomes Durga. The Lord becomes Shiva, because to touch material energy, Vishnu can't do that. So he transforms into Shiva. Then he can touch material energy. So then Radharani expands as Durga to assist her husband in the form of Lord Shiva who are reflections of Radha and Krishna. And that's what's happening. But under the illusion, the living entity is thinking that he is actually, he's taking part in this. He is the main player in the show, actually, and he is the enjoyer. Of course, he's a sufferer because he's identifying with the as the body. So the so the body is not even our property. It's the property of Durga, and when we identify this body as being myself, this will simply expand the cause of Maya. But when we identify the body, if we understand it's Radharani's body, let's use it in the service of Radha and Krishna, then that expands the spiritual world. In other words, Krishna's pleasure is the cause of the spiritual world. So we engage in his services, bringing Krishna pleasure. So therefore it's expanding the spiritual world. But when we're identifying with matter, then we're simply expanding Radharani's cause, Radharani in the form of Durga, her cause to keep everybody bound up. We're simply expanding her cause, Radharani's cause in the form of Durga. If we do it the other way, we can expand Radharani's we expand the spiritual world and there we're assisting Radharani in her original form in bringing Krishna pleasure. So now we have everything mixed up. So the idea is that we're simply using the body. It's not that we are the body. We're not the body. But often we think I'm possessing a body, especially Krishna background. They say I'm the body and I've got a soul. Yeah, I'm the body and I have a soul. We say the other way around. We're the soul and we have a body. We possess a body. But actually we don't possess the body. It's not our body. The body is simply to use. Krishna's given you this body to use. You can't create the body. You can't create the material universe. You can't create anything. Krishna has to create everything for you, for your illegal desire. Otherwise, you can't do anything. So he creates the body. Now you can use it as you desire. So that's your choice. Now you can use it to propitate Radharani in the form of Durga in the material world and keep the cause going. Or you can use it to propitate Radharani's pastimes with Krishna and assist in the spiritual program. So this is our choice. We have a choice to how we can use the body, but we shouldn't be identifying with it. otherwise we just increase the program of bewilderment. This material world is bewildering. So bewildering, so complex. So how to get out of this, you know, very, very difficult, complex situation? You just go downstairs, walk downstairs before Radha Madhava, and you say, and punch a tap, you say, Radha Madhava, I'm your eternal servant, please engage me in your service. Thus, all that complicity is finished. This is the mercy of Radha, the deities, Mahaprabhu's mission, pure devotees, they've established it. You simply go, you take shelter. Who can understand how this creation is working? So many descriptions of creation in Bhagavatam, different angles of vision. We can't even build a temple because we don't know how it's working. We're trying hard to establish it. But so difficult, so complex, this material energy. the yogis running at the speed of mind, they can't get out of it. In knowledge, still they can't get out of it. But the devotee, for the devotees, Krishna says, no, you simply, I'm your servant, Krishna, please engage me in your service. And that's it for the devotee. He just fixed on that and serves Krishna. He's not perfect. So many defects are there. He still has so many wrong identifications that he's fixed on the understanding. He's being swept away here and there by Maya now and again. But he's still just simply fixed on. Who is perfect in this material world? So we just fix on that point. This is Tati Nupamkam verse. Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma is offering the prayers to Krishna. That one who is fixed on Krishna, I am your servant. He's fixed on this point. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am your servant. I'm in this position now because of my previous activities. I'm in a good position or a bad position. I'm being bowled over by Maya. I'm being established. Whatever my situation is now, it's just due to my past activities. It's just throwing me around here and there. But whatever happens, I'm simply going to remember I'm your eternal servant and fix at your lotus feet. Lord Brahma says, that person, he goes back to Godhead. He doesn't say he has any other qualification. He doesn't say he's conquered Maya. He's controlled his mind. He's controlled the senses. He's on the Brahma Buddha platform. He's on the stage of above. No, he's just fixed. Krishna, you are my Lord. And I'm your servant. I'm just fixed on that. That's all. That's all the only qualification he's got. Brahma says he goes back to Godhead. Without doubt. Dayabhak. Daya, mukta daya. What is it? Mukta? Dayabhak, yeah. It becomes his rightful claim. He's not qualified according to all the rules and regulations we get. You know, so many qualifications you can get if you want to study in the devotional line. There's so many different qualifications, beginning from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Anatta Nivritti, all the way up to so many lines we've got of purification, symptoms of advancement. They're there if you want them. But simply if you're fixed on that point, that you're Krishna's eternal servant, you're just fixed on that. And nothing will... Krishna's saying, he doesn't say there's anything else. No, because that is your constitutional position. Because you're fixed on that, yes, it's your rightful claim. You go back to Godhead. It's your natural inheritance. One devotee asked me one time, he said, in the class you were saying it's so easy to go back to Godhead. Is it really that easy? And I said, if you are a father and you had children you loved, and he ran away, there were children run away from home, how many obstacles would you put in their way of their coming back? How many rules and regulations would you lay down before they could come back home? How many restrictions would you put there? Of course, if you love it, there wouldn't be any restriction. All you want, please come back home. Right? So that's Krishna, all that Krishna wants. That's all Krishna wants. So he wants us to come back home. So there's no restriction for that person who's simply fixed. I'm your servant, Krishna. And I'm not going to be deviated from this. I'm just going to, whatever happens to me in my life, according to my karma, I'm thrown here, thrown there, but I'm still going to remain fixed that I'm your eternal. It's that person, it's his rightful claim, he goes back to Godhead. Purple gives a nice example that you want inheritance from your family. You get the son gets the family heritage, the family heirloom, it gets handed down. own servant of Krishna. That's your rightful claim. That'll take you back to Godhead. That's all it needs. You don't need anything else. So, here Prabhupada's saying that here we should put our attention to what is attractive. What is attractive? He said that is Radha and Krishna and the spiritual world. So this we should seek out, that attraction, that spirit, the combination of spirit and matter. We should always be seeking out the spiritual side of this material world. Then the material side doesn't exist. And for the Kami, he's just feeling the material aspect. For him, the spiritual doesn't exist. He can't even understand it. Even after hearing all about it, Krishna says, he can't understand. Some speak of the soul as amazing, some look upon him as amazing, some hear of him as amazing. Others, even after hearing all, they can't understand him at all. So there will always be jivas like that. They won't understand, but all they will see is matter. That will absorb their whole feeling and attention in this material world. But for a devotee, he can see only spirit. He doesn't see anything. There's side by side, the Kami and the devotee. The Kami is only feeling the material energy. He can't understand anything. A devotee, he can see only the spiritual energy. So it's up to the choice of the living entity to seek out that spirit in this material world. And Prabhupada gives a nice example of, in the Krishna book, that why this attraction is there in the material world. It's a natural attraction, but why is that attraction there? Especially male-female here. But it's there in any relationship. Prabhupada says because of the presence of the soul. He said because as soon as the soul leaves the body, that body is not attractive anymore. You quickly burn that body. It'll become even more unattractive when it starts to decompose and smell. So immediately you burn the body, bury the body. It's not attractive anymore. So that means it's the soul that is attractive. Parikshit Maharaj is asking the question to Shukadev. Shukadev is answering. So it's actually the soul that is attractive in the body, not the body itself. Then the next question, why is the soul attractive? Because it's a part and parcel of Krishna. He said, therefore, Krishna is the all-attractive center. And Krishna has descended to show his pastime, to show his act, to show how he is the all-attractive center, to absorb our attention, to absorb our consciousness in that supreme attractive person. So there we can see it's when we feel attraction in this material world, we can understand it's because of Krishna. The soul is the soul that's attractive in the body, and the soul is attractive because it's part and parcel of Krishna. Also, then we can remember Krishna. So then we can learn to see Krishna in everything, even in our relationships. So, Krishna is so attractive that even his effulgence, even the light from Krishna's body is so attractive that the jnanis and the yogis, they're prepared to give up their own identity. Everybody loves himself best of all. But they are prepared to give up their own identity to merge into that effulgence. That effulgence, just the light of Krishna's body, it's so attractive that they're prepared to commit suicide. They're prepared to give up their identity eternally to merge into Krishna's existence. That's how attractive it is. They're willing to give up their own identity there. So what to speak of the actual form of Krishna himself, the personality of Godhead, how much more attractive that can be. Even the effulgence of Krishna has a form. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Shanakumar goes to that realm of the Brahmajyoti, supremely attractive light. But he says that the Lord is there. He becomes manifest sometimes. And all the devotees are there. Emerged, and they're, God, they're just completely absorbed in. And then they just melt back into him. And he melts back into the effulgence. And then he comes out again. And they come out again. If they want to. And then he merges back into his effulgence. And the devotees merge back into effulgence. It's so attractive. And that's on his effulgence. So what to speak of Krishna's body itself? Prabhupada gives the example that you have attraction for a person in the material world. And how deep that bondage goes, especially in the male-female relationship. How strong it is. It's everything, actually. When a person falls in love, it's actually everything. It's a whole world. There's nothing existing. There's nothing existing except his love. They commit suicide all the time, love, out of love quarrel. The kings, they give up their kingdom. King Edward VIII of England, he abdicated. When the British had the empire. Edward. And he fell in love with a commoner woman, some American divorcee. And anyway, the love was so strong, it's still the British rule, they're maintaining the rules at least for the royalty. You can only marry into royalty. You have to keep the royal blood there. So this was a commoner. She was just some American floozy he fell in love with. So she couldn't be married into the royalty. She didn't have the blood. I don't want to offend anybody who's got a slight trace of royal blood in their family lines. Murari Gupta Prabhu. Get a blood transfusion, yeah. So he said he had a choice. They said, you can't marry this common woman. So you either give up the British Empire, which was India, or so many countries, British Empire, so big at that time, or this woman. What do you want to choose? He was so much in love, let me choose this woman. He gave up his empire. This is how strong it is. And that is one soul, that is 1/10,000 size of the tip of a hair. How strong that affection is for 1/10,000 size of the tip of the hair, the size of the soul. Imagine the affection and love that's with Krishna, who's the source of all those billions and billions and billions and billions of 1/10,000 size of the tips of the hair. How much love is there? We can't imagine even. If we can go crazy in love with 1/10,000 size of the tip, what's going to happen there? When they talk about becoming madmen, you can't imagine the extent of the madness when you actually love Krishna. So that's what's being offered by Krishna. He is all attractive. Everything about Krishna, the closer you get, the more attractive his effulgence is so attractive. It's called Jyoti Vilash. When Radha and Krishna meet, Krishna's effulgence and Radharani's effulgence, they meet first. So they have a little pastime, Jyoti Vilash. The meeting of the Jyotis there, because it's personified there. So they're having a little exchange before actually Radha and Krishna come together. And because Krishna is sham, he's blue color, and Radharani is Kanchana, she's golden, then the effulgences, when they meet, everything becomes crimson. The two colors, the blue and the gold, it turns green, and blue, yellow and blue. Golden and blue. So the whole atmosphere becomes crimson with it because of their Jyoti Vilash, the meeting of their Jyotis. So this is... when you imagine the petty little bit of happiness we're trying to pick out of this material world, out of all the distress, We're trying to pick a little bit. What's awaiting for us if we actually give full attention to Krishna and develop our love for Krishna? There is no comparison. Just see how foolish we are, bound up in this material world, really thinking there is some happiness. No happiness. Just chant Hare Krishna. Go back home, back to Godhead. There is real happiness. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Śrīmā Bhāgavatam ki. Samaveda Bhaktivedanta ki. Nitai Gopremanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you.